Hey guys, I cannot wait for you to hear this episode. This episode was with Nathan Aaron, and he is an amazing coach. I know he's an amazing coach, okay? I have had the privilege of working with Nathan, and I wanted you to guys to really listen up, right? Because we talk about why when you hire a business coach, maybe it doesn't always work out. Why doesn't it always work out when we hire these different coaches, right? And what I love about what he says is he really gives you like some insight and knowledge as to, I never thought about that before. Maybe I do need to think about how I structure everything I am doing. I'm telling you, it's a different way of thinking. It's a different way of like doing your funnels and all that great stuff. Really great content. You really want to pay attention, especially if you are a business owner, consultant, a coach, you're an expert in your field and you just need to know how to grow your business. This is the episode for you. So check it out. Let's do this. What's up, y'all? This is Nina Perez, and this is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. And I am excited you're here. As you guys know, I go around this freaking awesome planet looking for the best humans I can find to come on here to grow, challenge, and transform your thinking. Now, I got one of my favorite peeps hanging out with me today. You're going to love him. His name is Nathan. He is a game changer, especially for heart center entrepreneurs, and he's helping them turn their passion into a thriving business. Now, he's raised over $1 million per client, worked with Fortune 500 companies. He is a Grammy Award winners. He's done all of this stuff. He's really charting on podcasts and iTunes. Like, he overcame homelessness. He's landing seven-figure investments and creating hit reality series, Chasing My Dreams. Nathan's journey is an inspiration, guys. You're going to freaking love this guy, okay? He's not just a business powerhouse, but he's also deeply involved with nonprofit work. He's championing causes like homelessness and coral reefs and at-risk youth, because why not, right? So I want you to get ready for this amazing conversation with Nathan, because I personally love him and love working with him. So I'm glad he is here. Nathan, welcome to Straight Talk. How are you?
Hey, look at that. Hey, Nina. Also one of my favorite people in the world. So
thank you. I'm so glad you're here, Nathan. I love picking your brain. I love speaking with you. You're just a really chill kind of guy, but you're also super intentional and smart about what you do. And, you know, a lot of the people that listen to the show are like entrepreneurs or aspiring to be. A lot of CEOs and leaders listen to the show, which is really, really inspiring for me, because that was the intention. So I wanted to first start off with having people get to know you just a bit. So if you don't mind, I know I gave a bio, but I want to know a little bit more about you. So tell them who you are, Nathan. Who are you?
Thank you. Yeah. Well, starting all the way back from the beginning, what makes my origin story kind of unique is that I grew up in the music industry. I lived a block down the street from the high school. So I had all the kids coming over to my house to record music. And I made around 10 grand before I turned 17 out of my recording studio in my bedroom. And so I thought I was going to be a famous multimillionaire by the time I turned 21. Then I moved to LA, and unfortunately LA chewed me up and spit me out. So I, you know, had a lot of success in the music industry that wasn't financial, but there was not much financial success there. So got to work with and hang out with a lot of my childhood heroes, but again, I was broke. And so I ended up being homeless, staying out of my car for about 4 months. And through that process, as happens with most of us, is, you know, the school of hard knocks will teach you a lot of lessons. Yeah. And that kind of brought me to mostly transitioning into doing business out of the necessity of financially striving, right? And so, which is common for a lot of folks, right? We work because we have to survive, and hopefully we choose a line of work that really lights us up. And a lot of us get caught in this trap of accidentally working for our businesses or working for our jobs. Businesses and jobs working for us. And so I've built and created a business over the past decade where we really focus on not only helping businesses increase, you know, generating leads, getting clients for people, but also, as you mentioned, intentionally focusing on them working less. So for example, I'm a CEO of a company called Coach With Us. And on Wednesdays, I don't work. I go to the studio. I work on my passion project of doing music now that I do that for fun. And Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, I manage my team. I help clients, so on and so forth. So it's a really fun journey of just, you know, living from this place of saying, hey, what can I do that I'm going to rejoice in and not regret? What can I do where I can help people completely change their financial future? We work with coaches, consultants, and high ticket salespeople, and adding an additional $50,000 per month in revenue to their businesses. And so it's like, how can I change people's life with money? How can I change people's lives by helping them protect their time and enjoy their lives more, so that when they're on their deathbed looking back, as I mentioned, they rejoice instead of regret?
That's so good. And I'm sure that you learned that lesson because that's what you needed to learn for yourself, right? You know, I think that happens to a lot of us as coaches, right? We start off as coaches, we go out here and try to do this thing, and we realize that we're hitting a lot of walls and that we're hitting a lot of, like, you know, obstacles that are happening, right? So I know that one of the things that, you know, you being that you're working with a lot of different, are you working with a lot of different businesses, or is it, you said mainly coaches, consultants, and salespeople, you said? Is that right?
Correct. Correct. Yep.
Okay. So okay.
Essentially anyone who's selling a mid to high ticket service or product. So
got it.
Anyone who's charging a minimum of 2000, moving on upward, that's who we serve.
Okay. Got it. And so, you know, I think this is going to be a really important conversation. And it's because I'm realizing that this happened to me several years ago, where, you know, you invest a lot of money in, like, all of your certifications and your education and all of that stuff. And then you start off not really knowing what you're doing, right? So you're spending a lot of money not knowing what you're doing. So you're like, don't know what you're doing. You hire someone who says they could do something and they don't, right? So then you're like in this place. So I wanted to touch on something you had said earlier, where you talked about, you know, business coaches, when me and you were speaking, or when you left me a message, which I thought was super interesting. And in, you know, I feel the same way you feel, right? So why do people hire, like, business coaches and, you know, all these other coaches that they're hiring in their life, but they're not seeing any kind of, like, success in their life, right? So I wanted to touch on that with you and kind of play on that a little bit, because I know that people who are listening, like I said, I work with aspiring entrepreneurs. So women who want to create their own coaching businesses, right? Mm-hmm. And they hit a lot of walls and they don't know what to do, what to trust, where to go. So why don't we touch on that a bit, Nathan, because I'm sure that that's what you're helping people with, since you're helping them scale from 2000, let's say that you said that you start with people with mid to higher tickets, mm-hmm. up to scaling up to 50K, right? So why do you think that's a problem? What do you think is going on there?
Sure. Yeah. I think that what's really important is to kind of take a step back and look at things really objectively and say, okay, what do I want to do? Mm-hmm. I was born, I was put on this planet. Here I am. How the heck I got here.
right.
And I'm trying to navigate this world. And I grew up and I decided that I wanted to start a business. And now I'm asking myself, well, okay, why did I start this business? Chances are because you wanted time freedom. You want location freedom. Mm-hmm. You want peace of mind. You want to feel great. But you signed up as a coach, quote unquote. You signed up to become a business owner, whatever that business is. And you thought, oh, great, I'm going to get to do my thing. I'm going to get to help people, talk to people, change people's lives, make a difference. But then you had to learn marketing and SEO and funnel building. And you had to learn how to do all this stuff. And it's so overwhelming. And next thing you know, if you were to write a resume for yourself, you could be, you know, a marketer, you could be a copywriter, you could be web designer, you could be a contract writer. As an entrepreneur and a business owner, you have the skill sets of almost every single person that you'll ever need to hire on some level. And so it becomes very overwhelming. And so what we do is, especially aspiring entrepreneurs or new entrepreneurs, what we do is, everyone has different personalities, but a lot of us, we think, okay, let me just throw money at this. because maybe that'll help. Maybe I'll just, if I can just throw money at this, maybe this will help. And so what that can mean is a lot of different things. It could mean, for example, if someone wanted to be a YouTuber, instead of shooting their first 5-10 videos on their phone, they save up money to buy a nice camera. And then after they get the camera, instead of using it, they say, well, actually, I noticed I would like a teleprompter. And so they get a teleprompter, and then they got their teleprompter, and then they're like, well, I should probably have a nicer background. And next thing procrastinating, right? Yeah. The same thing goes for the idea of hiring someone. And yes, there's a fine line, right? Because there are certain situations where having a coach is the best thing you could possibly have. So for example, I had a back injury a while back, and I stopped going to the gym. When I overcame my back injury, I continued to not go to the gym. So I hired a fitness trainer. Fitness trainer is essentially a coach. And that was amazing because it was someone who held me accountable, who had an entire process. And so I hired that person. Specifically though, for business coaches, I think that it's really important that if you're going to hire someone that is a consultant or a coach or something like that, a lot of times, sometimes the reason why you don't get the result is because you hire them or you pay for an online course and you just don't do it, right? You don't follow through.
Yeah.
It gets overwhelming. And that might not be because you have a flaw in your personality. It might be because, or your work ethic rather, but it might actually be that it's just overwhelming and you signed up because you wanted to be a professional and help your clients, but not to do all the work. Right. And that you didn't know that you needed to do. And so you have two choices. Either you do the work or you hire someone else to do it. So here we are, we're like, okay, I'm going to spend my last, you know, $5,000-$7,000 on this coach. And then you notice that you have tons of work to do. And now you don't have any money to hire a VA or a personal assistant to do that work for you. And so, you know, one thing that I think is really important is that you find someone who's going to do it for you or do it with you, right? So it's like you hire someone and they actually do the stuff you don't want to do so you can focus on what you do. And then even further than that, a good analogy that I like to make is, let's say that Susie makes great pies and Susie has an apple pie that everyone loves and everyone's like, Susie, girl, you should start a business. These are the best, I'd buy 20, right? And so Susie starts the business and she's just, you know, in bed, laying in her bed, envisioning baking pies all day and people coming into the store and smiling. And she's like a local celebrity because everyone loves her pies. And then as she starts the business, she realizes that she has to have a location. So she has to get into real estate. And then she has to, she has all this overhead now and she has to buy all this equipment. And it's nothing that was expected. And so this is this is normal. If you're listening to this and you're experiencing this or have experienced this, this is normal. This is a part of the process. This is the gauntlet that life puts you through. And if everyone could easily just walk to the finish line, then everyone would be successful and in business.
Right.
It's not the case. And so we have to embrace the trials and tribulations and really appreciate them in this one life that we have and just really get clear with ourselves and have self-awareness and say, okay, what's really happening here? What do I enjoy? What do I not enjoy? When can I offload this to someone else, delegate this to someone else? Who am I delegating it to? And those are really critical and important decisions to make, because if you hire a VA that's a general VA to do your marketing, it might not work. Or if you spend a little extra money and get someone local that you can meet up with 3-5 days a week and actually work with, that might exponentially grow your business. And so there are so many decisions to make.
Yeah.
And I think the reason why people don't get results is because of the main quote that I like, which is, if you want to do something, you find someone who's already done it and you have them help you do it. Right.
Right. Right.
The constant misconception is, you find someone who's already done it and then you ask them how to do it. That's different than them helping you how to do it. I can meet Michael Jordan and ask him how to be a great basketball player and he could talk to me for 20 minutes and tell me, but that's not necessarily going to guarantee that I become a great basketball player. But if I actually have him or Steph Curry or someone like on the court with me, training with me, teaching me, then we're off to the races.
Right. Wow. That's really powerful, right? It's a good way to put it. And I think one of the things that I like is the candid and the honesty of what you're saying, because no coach has said that to me prior, right? So I've worked with many coaches. That wasn't said. So you're right. A lot of people come with an expertise, right? They do have an expertise. They do know what they're doing. They've been doing this for years. They got it. But now they're starting to really face and hit walls with like imposter syndrome, and they don't think they're good enough. And that happened to me. That happens to a lot of people. And it's because of what you just said. You're trying to learn all of it. Now you're a marketer. Now you're a real estate developer. Now you're whatever, right? Whatever field you're getting into. And that is very, very true. And I love that you also said, if you're going through this right now, understand that this is normal, right? It's a normal process. What I wish though, Nathan, is that more people would tell you that. Right? Because they don't tell you that, you know? So yes, it is normal. You're right. We all go through it. I go through it. I'm going through it. Everybody goes through it. Right. And every time you hit a new level, you're going to go through it. I just wish that when somebody gets into like out of their, let's say, corporate role, and they get into this coaching thing, they really, or consulting or whatever, they really think it's just the same. It's just a transition, but it's not. It's very, very complicated. It has a lot of pieces. So Nathan, then now that you said all of that, tell me what it is that your team does then. What is it that you're doing with them? Because it sounds to me like you are now, Susie, I think that's the name that you just used. Let's use that as an example. So she comes to see Nathan, right? What is Nathan's team going to do with her to help her succeed?
Sure, sure. That's great. Great question. And actually, really quick, before I answer that, I wanted to touch on something that you said. I think it's really critical to not only realize that if you're moving from corporate into owning a business, that it's very different, but the specifics around that. And so one of those is that as an employee for a company, you're essentially, you're taking less risk and you have a lot more security, right? So it's like, okay, I'm probably not going to grow very much. There's definitely a glass ceiling here. And at some point, this is as much as I can possibly make. But I'm trading that for peace of mind that I know that I'm going to have this income. But the problem with that is the downside is a lot of times there's toxic culture, or you're in a position where you just feel like you're being drained of your life source, and you're just kind of stuck in this box, sometimes literally. And you just feel like there's more. And so on the other hand, you have exponential growth as a business owner. You can become the most wealthy person out of anyone that you've ever met. You can have that time freedom, that location freedom. You can travel. Even when my business was doing okay, I'm talking we're making like 10K a month or something like that. I was traveling all over the world from my laptop, just like all the commercials promise. Mm-hmm. It was very real. I mean, of course, there are some downsides to it. You take a sales call in Turkey and the internet's bad, and it's kind of embarrassing. But nonetheless, I think I actually took a sales call in a closet, in an internet closet at a hotel once. It was great. Sure. You definitely learn a new skill set, right? And it puts you in a position where you really become a beautifully well-rounded person, because you learn so much about yourself. For anyone who's been on video before, first time on video, you're like, oh my God, I'm awkward. And then you go, I say all the time.
Right.
I have all these filler words. What am I doing? And then as time goes on, you start to get better and better and better. And as you get better, it almost becomes this, you're on the path to mastery when you start relating the things that you're learning in that specific area to all other areas of life. And you start going, oh, just like me learning how to improve myself little bit by little bit on camera and remove the filler words and make better eye contact and emote myself and allow people to feel my energy through the camera, that also goes with the way that I raise my children, or that also goes with the way that the awareness that I have of how I show up for my family or for my partner. There's so many different ways. And so I think that if you are willing to jump into the sea of uncertainty, there it's scary and yeah. you do need the right guidance. And that's probably why a lot of people listen to your podcast is because people do need the guidance. And there are levels of guidance that you'll need. It's great to consume content with people that you may never meet, podcasts, YouTube videos, et cetera. Then there's another level, which is like online courses, paying for courses so that you can get or certifications. Then there's things like actually going to live events. There's group coaching, one-on-one coaching, and then transitioning into the answer to your other question of what my company does is a company that actually takes the majority of the workload off of your plate so that you don't have to stress and worry about those things and you can focus on doing what you do best.
That's awesome.
So in very, very simple, maybe one, two sentences, what our company does is we handle all the tech, all of the marketing, all of the funnel building, the software stuff that you don't want to do, that you might not want to do, so that you can take a deep breath and actually do two things. One is take calls with people who are already interested in hiring you. And two is work with people who have already hired you. So you do the calls with people who have already, you know, watched your video, learned about you, seen what you had to offer and said, yes, I want to work with this person. I just need to talk to them first. Mm-hmm, and two is they've already hired you. So you help them. And so the basic breakdown of what we do is, if you've ever like Googled or YouTube or searched on Instagram about like coach business coaches or anything like that, you're going to get all these ads from all these people saying, what would happen if I could fill your calendar with 5,000 sales calls?
Right.
And it's like, I don't want 5,000.
Right.
I understand what you're saying. Like 5,000 sales calls could equate to a lot of money, but what we do is we say you shouldn't be taking more than two a day. And so from the very beginning, since I've started, what we say is, okay, look, let's say you charge $5,000 for your service. Let's make this as simple as possible so that you have the lowest amount of cortisol. You wake up in the morning and you're not stressed about going to your job, start working on your business. Otherwise you might as well have a job. Right.
Right.
The reason you leave your job is because either it's stressing you out too much. There's, you know, some issues in the office or because you know, you can grow further or you just feel like there's something more that you have to give to the world. And so if you start a business incorrectly and you don't make those changes, then you've just built yourself into another job that has less security.
Right.
So instead,
we
are, and you don't have to have our company to do this. There's a million ways to do it. But what I built this company for, starting off just myself and now with a full team, multiple departments, is we want you to wake up in the morning and you know that you only have two things to do. Those two things I mentioned. And that will reduce your cortisol. It'll make you wake up in the morning, have a lot more time. You can take Wednesdays off for your passion. And our goal is for you to work 3 hours a day. Does that mean that you're really going to work 3 hours a day? It can. And the way that you can really lock that in, that you can work 3 hours a day, is that 2 hours per day on your calendar are scheduled for sales calls. People who have already watched a video, who have jumped through some hoops to get with you, right? So who have filled out an application, they know the price. This is definitely
so something. They're already, I mean, at that point, Nathan, right? What you're saying is fill my calendar up with 5,000 people that don't know me at all. And I probably won't even close one or two people that have already gone through the video, the application process and all of that. So they already know. They already know they want to work with you by the time they get to that phone call. At least that's what it sounds like, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And this is a very feminine approach to things. I 100% would not have this process the way it is if I didn't work with incredible women leaders. And what I mean by that is, look, the marketing industry is mostly a male-dominated industry as far as online marketing. Right. Like, how many ads do you see where there's a woman pitching something versus a man? They're out there, but it's much more male-dominated, mostly because our culture has always conditioned men to be the people who have to make money and you know, women being the nurturers and the one to raise the family up until the last 50 years. it started to transition. And so, of course, that's part of the process. But the feminine approach is not, hey, show up to a page where here's an ad where I promise you the world,
right,
and overpromise. And then you show up to, nothing against guys, that then they show up to the landing page and it has false scarcity, 12 minutes remaining, must sign up or else the page is going to refresh. There's nothing. This is completely lie. And, you know, only two spots left. It said that for the last 6 months. Right. And then they don't tell you anything about the price. And then you jump on a sales call and you ask them the price and they say, hey, we'll get to that. But first I want to, and they wait until the very end of the call to tell you the price so that they can close you using psychology. Right.
Right. Right.
Versus the more feminine approach is, here's my price. Here's what I have to offer. Take it or leave it.
Right.
And here's all the information.
It's so good. It's so direct.
Right. It's like, here it is in text. I learned this from my partner. Here it is in text. Here it is in video. Here it is in audio. Here it is. Like, do you want a PDF? It's like every way you could need, because some people learn from reading. Some people learn from audio. Some people, you know, long form. Some people learn from video. And so we give it to them in every way that they can. Say the price straight up front. And if you want, I can even go back to the psychology of why this is this way. But ultimately, you know, you get to the place where you say it up front. There are no surprises. And guess what that does? That lowers your booked call ratio, which is bad, they say. But what if we're lowering that book call ratio so that we're only filtering out the best of the best, the people that are 100% ready? Now you're getting on sales calls and your close rate is 60, 70%. You know, I get on calls with these companies that I'm interested in hiring and paying, you know, whatever, 10 grand to work with. And they say, oh, what's your close rate? And I tell them 70%. And they're like, show me the spreadsheet. I don't believe you. I show them the spreadsheet and they're blown away. But then they understand when I say we leave a lot of you know, potential money on the table because we only filter out the clients that are really ready to work with us. All right. So for example, if we're getting 5 sales calls, then we could have gotten 10, but those 5 people were scrolling through the application. They saw something that said that it cost $10,000 and they said, not for me. Right.
Right.
Now, could you technically hire a very skilled salesperson to take that call and close that person? Yes. But the difference is when you close that person, when you take that person's money that had to be convinced, then they might not have been a good fit, maybe because they didn't have enough money or because they didn't have enough time or because of the situation. And now they're regretting it. And you're creating this negative karmic energy around your business. Whereas you can just be like, I want to show up. And I'm sure this is the case for your, you know, your listeners as well. It's like, we want to show up in a way that doesn't feel icky. You know, sales can feel icky. You don't want to feel that way. You want to show up and be like, I could show this to anyone. That one person, that like powerful person that you know, if they came across your sales funnel or your videos, you want to be like, look at it. Like, take a look, right? It's like if you have your books done really well and you get an audit, you're like, go for it. Come in the house, check it out. I'm organized. You're going to be surprised at how organized I am. And so that's what we want to do, is just get people in a position where it all comes down to the one thing that we're focused on, which is, how can this add into my emotional bank account as opposed to take away? Does it give me energy or does it take energy from me? And a lot of people create businesses that take energy from them. Mm-hmm. And we don't want that.
You know what? That was so refreshing too, because I've had a lot of people on this show. So I think we're at about 400 episodes, right? And I interview a lot of people, a lot of experts in their field or whatever, but I don't think I've heard that approach. Now, I've heard people, you know, say, oh, you should be honest, like on the sales call, but you're talking about just like right there on the application, here it is, that's what it is, take it or leave it, right? So the good thing about that is that person now is making almost already a decisive decision before they even get on the call with you. They're already saying, okay, so that's the range between, you know, 10 and 15 or 5 and 10 or whatever it is. And they're going, okay, all right, wait, I think I could work this out. They're already working it out in their head before they even finish the application, right?
Right.
That's really, really interesting, Nathan, because I think like you explained almost like 90% of the industry in that. And that thing you were saying, you know, like they over deliver and then you get on these phone calls and then they don't tell you until the very, very end. And it's so true. And it's so frustrating, right? Because you're sitting through like a 15, 20 minute spiel on all they're going to do for you. And all you're sitting there in the back of your mind is thinking, okay, but how much is this? Mm-hmm. You know, like how much is this, right? And I think that's happening a bit. I don't know. You tell me, what do you feel about the way things are changing nowadays, right? Because I've noticed that the landscape is changing. The way people sell is changing. The way people are purchasing is changing, mm-hmm. right? So how are you feeling that that approach is helping or not helping with the industry, with the way the industry is running today or the way people are purchasing today?
Yeah. I mean, if you need food and, you know, a couple thousand years ago, you would need to either forage or hunt. And 20 years ago, you have to get up and go to the grocery store. And now you can open an app.
Right.
There's always going to be a different way. Some ways are better, more innovative. Some ways, you know, but the marketing landscape is changing all the time. Technology is always changing. And so it does require being up on things. And semi-shameless plug, like that's one thing I'm really proud of, is that our company is a guinea pig. And so we do all the testing on ourselves. And only if it works, then we roll it out to our clients. And so, you know, I'm a big fan of hiring people as well. Because sometimes there's some things I don't want to stay up on. I don't want to stay up on the new ad changes. And every single, you know, every 4 days they change the dashboard inside of Facebook ads. It's like, oh my God, it's a hassle. And then you look at TikTok's interface and you're like, come on, Facebook, you can do that. So there are tons of changes. I think really what it comes down to is just, again, like, and I'm okay with going in a different direction with the answer to that question, but really what it comes down to is deciding, do I want to be doing this? And if the answer is yes, then I go really deep in it and get really interested in it. And if the answer is no, then I still learn about it enough so that I understand it, but delegate it off to someone else. And then all the changes are just the changes. I mean, we can go super nerdy and super deep on all the different changes, but really what it comes down to is one of my favorites is, if you want to sell something on the internet, something that is a service or a high priced product, you're going to have to get people interested either by running ads or doing organic content, which is a slow game, but it's an investment, or to do outbound, reaching out to people on social media or through email, et cetera.
Right. And
if you do ads, which is a popular way of doing things because it's the easiest, right? You either spend time to acquire clients or you spend money to acquire clients. And if you spend money to acquire clients, then all these changes are happening where you used to be able to say, okay, if someone is in the Tony Robbins Business Mastery Graduate Facebook group, put my ad in front of them. How amazing is that, right? Now you can't do that. You can, but you don't get to choose it. It's behind a wall. So now you don't get those controls anymore. And so that was heart-wrenching for a lot of people, a lot of businesses, when those changes rolled out over the past few years. But what does it really come down to now? And it's connecting with people. It's thinking about what they need to hear, what they need to feel, what emotion they're in as they're on YouTube, Instagram, whatever, and how you can really connect with those people. And a lot of times what we get, so we help people, the process is we create an ad for them and then we build out their funnel and we do all of the tech work, as I mentioned. And then part of that is a video. And that video is everything that they could possibly say that is important that the person needs to know about their service. And so when someone's going through that process and they get to that point where they're clicking on these ads, it just has to feel like the person cares about you, like they're authentic, like they're genuine, and that you're calling out something that is important to them and not to anyone else, right? So for example, I'm not going to start an ad saying, hey, would you like to make $50,000 a month? Because I'm going to get a bunch of people that are not anywhere near my target demographic. But if I say, how would you like to, you know, reduce the overhead in your coaching business and reduce your time to 3 hours per day, so you're only taking 2 sales calls a day and closing 2 to 3 a week, making $10,000 to $15,000, then that's almost like specific that anyone that's not in that situation, you're using jargon that only works with your people. You can put that ad out to the entire United States, every single person in the entire United States with no targeting at all age ranges, all, you know, genders, everything, because it's only going to get clicked on or watched by someone who understands what that jargon is. So there are all these little nerdy strategies.
Smart. That's really, really smart. So let me ask you this before we wrap it up, because I think what you're doing is really fantastic. And for those who are listening, who are like coaches and entrepreneurs and have small businesses, and they really want to get more of that automation done in that, you know, that strategic funnel system, right? So do you help like somebody who's listening who doesn't know what they want to do yet? Or are you intentional in working in your team, working with people who are already in their genius or in their business?
Sure. Yeah, that's a great question. So, the majority of our clients already have their business down to an extent, but what we have sometimes is we have clients who need help with things like identifying their target demographic, their ideal client, their niche, offer, the price point that they're charging. Because a lot of clients come to us and they've said, hey, I've been a practitioner for 7 years. I just need to get my stuff online. Or, hey, I have a really big following on social media, but I want to sell a new program. Or, hey, I have these four programs, but I'm adding a fifth. Or, hey, I'm just transitioning out of corporate and I've been doing this for 15 years, but now I want to teach it myself. And so what we don't work with is people who have no clue what they want to do and are just trying to figure it out. Like, I don't know. I just want to figure something out. Can you help me figure out what industry I want to be in? Not that, but yes to people who say, this is my expertise. I just need to build an actual coaching program or consulting program around it. Or I have a sales team that, you know, that I'm working with and we need to create a new offer.
That's awesome. Yay, Nathan, you drop so much freaking wisdom and knowledge. Everybody better pick it up. That's all I'm saying. So good. So good. Okay. So before we wrap up, I know that, like I told you, a lot of coaches and, you know, leaders and stuff like that listen to the show. So how do people connect with you? So how can they reach out to you? Is there a, you know, strategic place that you like to send them on the website or something like that? So give us that.
Sure.
Give us that info.
Yeah. Just some mental telepathy. Just think about me. No. So there's two ways that someone can reach me, reach our company. So if you want to just check out our site, there's that. And then I can also give you a phone number. And that phone number is a number that you can text into. The website is coachwithus.com. And then the phone number is area code 310-807-1998. 310-807-1998. And again, just text that number. And then I'm happy to respond and answer any questions you might have.
No, thank you so much. I adore you anyway. I've always adored you, but I really appreciate you taking the time to be on the podcast because I know this is going to help a lot of people. And I know that, you know, I get these questions all the time and I try to like really, I try not to send them anywhere that I don't know. Right? Because you don't want your people that you are, you know, talking to or referring people to come back and be like, that didn't work out. Or they took our money, but didn't do this. And let me tell you, Nathan, that happens, you know, thank goodness it hasn't happened to anybody I've referred, but it definitely happens. I've had people that, you know, I've spent money to and never heard from again. So it happens, right? It's the kind of world we're living in. It's that's why I have people like you on here.
Time to contact your bank.
Exactly. Right. But thank you for being here and thank you for sharing that knowledge. I really appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Of course. Love it.
Thank you guys so much for hanging out with me and Nathan. I told you. Good guy, good human on the planet, leaving a bunch of knowledge. Make sure you guys go to coachwithus.com. And it's .com, right, Nathan?
Yes.
It is. Okay. Coachwithus.com. Make sure you go on there and check it out. Also, I'll link all of his information below and the phone number that he gave us so that you have all of that info, guys. Like, get your stuff together and get yourself organized, right? Because if you can really niche it down to who it is you want to speak to and stop having all of these conversations with people who are tire kickers and don't really care about being part of your business, they just want free stuff all the time, which is okay. But you know what? It's not okay if you're trying to run a successful business. You really do need to know who you're speaking to and that they want to work with you, right? Have them throw their credit cards at you, like Nathan says. All right, guys, I love you guys so much. This is Nina Perez, Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. Until next time.